Not all of us, but lots of us in this room will, in a year's time, or 2 years, or 3 years' time, will be leaving Oxford and going all across the country, all across the world. And we love to take an opportunity at this time of year or so to talk about what it might look like to leave Oxford in terms of church in the future. We're aware that the default will often be that you go to churches that you've heard about. Perhaps you go to a church which is a lot like St. Ebbs, not just in terms of Bible teaching and making Jesus known and that sort of thing, not just in terms of what we believe, but the kind of style and how things look. So that might be the kind of people that are like you. It might be the sort of music. It might be the size. It could be all sorts of different things. And for lots of us, that'll be totally right. But that's just the default. And we take this opportunity once a year to say, well, what about thinking about maybe going somewhere which is less familiar, which is perhaps very different in different ways, perhaps a lot smaller. And that's what this lunch is. It won't be right for all of us. Lots of us will go off to a church which is similar in size to St. Ebbs afterwards, I guess. But it might well be right for some of us, and it'd be good for all of us to consider what it might look like to, out of zeal for Jesus' glory in this world, what it might look like to make gospel-hearted decisions in terms of church in the future. I hope that's clear. If it's not, we'll have an opportunity at the end, towards the end, for questions. The way the afternoon is going to work is James is going to come and do a talk for us, and I'll invite James up and we'll ask him a couple of questions in a sec. And then we've got various people for a panel discussion. So Caroline, who James is married to, Tim and Amory Conn, who graduated from Oxford in 2018, both of them were undergraduates, Magdalen and Mansfield College, if I remember correctly. They've gone off to a church wing in churches outside Bath. And then also Pamela, who's at Church by the Bay in Morecambe. It's one of the churches that we, as a church, support. We support Church by the Bay, and specifically Jerry Straker, who works for that church. And so they're going to be on a little panel discussion. I'll ask them some questions. You guys feel free to ask questions too. Does that make sense? Hopefully. Okay, I'm going to invite James up. Where is he? James, hello. For the benefit of those that might have joined us since the 11:45 service, James, just tell us your connection with St. Ebbs and tell us what you're doing now.
Sure. I was Joel's predecessor here at St. Ebbs, so I oversaw the undergraduate student work I can't do the years, actually. It was for 4.5 years anyway, and I left about 2 years ago. So how long have you been here now? Start of your third year. Yeah, we overlapped for just a term or so, didn't we? But and then we then moved down to southwest London, a church called St. Mary's Church, Somerstown. Somerstown is an area where nobody knows where it is. It's quite small. If you are a football supporter, you might have very, very niche knowledge of Somerstown because AFC Wimbledon are currently building their new stadium in the parish. Alternatively, if you're a medic, you might know St. George's Hospital, which is the largest teaching hospital possibly in Europe. It's a very big teaching hospital anyway, and that's just on the outskirts of the parish. So that's where we are. We've been there for 18 months.
AFC Wimbledon building their stadium in your parish. That's really cool. AFC Wimbledon have got a really interesting history, but we won't go into that now. James, I'm going to hand over to you.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me. It's great to be here. It's great to be back. It's lovely to see so many familiar faces and lots of new faces as well. I hope to have a chance to chat a little bit afterwards. I take it you've stayed for church lunch because you've got a move coming up at some point. It might be in 2 terms' time, I guess, and you wanted a bit of thinking about churches in light of that move that's upcoming, or it might be a little further down the line, maybe even a couple of years hence, or even a little bit longer. You just want to do some thinking in advance. And I really hope that the next few minutes, and then in particular the Q&A, is going to be a help for you in thinking those things through. I want to start by being completely upfront, if I may, and telling you that I'm going to be trying to make the case for people as they move on from St. Ebbs to consider joining, when the time comes, a church like mine. Not actually necessarily mine, but a church of that sort. A church where perhaps the numbers are rather smaller, than St. Ebbs, where the music is certainly less modern, perhaps. I think at St. Mary's, we've got about as modern as Graham Kendrick in our music. Where the number of people of your sort of age is relatively limited, but where the Bible is nonetheless talk and people are seeking to live their lives in light of it. And I want to encourage you to have churches like that as a possibility for you in your thinking as you look ahead to the next year or the next few years. Now, I also want to say as we start that very clearly this is not in any way a right or wrong sort of issue. It just isn't. You are completely free to make any decision about churches that you want to make, and nothing I should say should make you feel limited in that choice as you think about it. I'm sure you know that, but it's just worth me saying that explicitly at the beginning. It's not right or wrong to go to one type of church above another. It's not better or worse to be a member of this church or that church, and certainly it's not spiritually keener to be a member of a smaller church than it is to be a member of a larger church. There is complete freedom in this area. I think the only proviso it's worth saying that the Bible would give, would lean pretty strongly on us about, is that it's important for us to be members of true churches rather than false churches. I think that's worth saying explicitly. The Bible has a category for both of those. And I'm not going to go into the difference now. We could talk about it in the Q&A if you wanted to. But I think that said, in terms of all the imperfect but seeking to be faithful churches that are out there, there's freedom. The reason I want to make a case for the little ones, however, is simply because we might not necessarily be on your map as you think about moving on from St. Ebbs. People won't necessarily have heard of St. Nicholas Barthampton, where the Conns currently are. They might not necessarily have heard of the Church by the Bay in Morecambe, where Pamela is from, or churches like ours, wherever they may be. You might not have heard of them, you might not know much about them, and you might not therefore consider going to a church like ours as you come to the end of your time here. And I think that would be a shame, because it would be great to have that sort of category. And actually, for a number of people here, it might actually be quite an exciting thing to consider. I want to give you three reasons to consider a church like ours. Two reasons why it would be difficult for you if you came, and then a fundamental Bible principle whichever church you end up going to. Now, some of these things will be true of larger churches, as they are of smaller churches, but I think that they're particularly relevant to the sort of church to which I belong. So three reasons to consider a church like ours. Reason number one, because of the encouragement to that church if you were to come to us. Now, I'm not going to embarrass them by giving their names, but we recently had a married couple join us from St. Ebbs at St. Mary's. The way they did it was this. They rang up at me and Caroline and asked if they could come down and visit us. They came down and visited on a Sunday. They came along to a church service. They saw us as we are, warts and all. They stayed for lunch. We were able to chat with them about the sort of church we are. And we went for a walk in the afternoon around the parish and around the neighborhood. They got a feel for who we were. They decided that they wanted to come to St. Mary's if they at all possibly could. So they applied for some jobs that would have made it possible for them to base themselves in or near the parish. One of them got a job that would have made that possible. Having got that job, they then came down and looked for flats. They signed a rental agreement and moved in. And a short while later, the other one of them also got a job that made it possible for them to live in the parish. I just tell you that because I want you to know that as a church leader, that was a profoundly encouraging thing to happen. I was deeply encouraged by that. I was so encouraged by the thought process of that couple. I loved their priorities as they were thinking about where next. But I also tell you that because of the encouragement that it's been to my church at St. Mary's. About a month ago, Caroline was in the church hall with an elderly member of the church when one of the married couple who's recently come to us, came in, and just gave something to Caroline and then left. The elderly, long-time member of the church said to Caroline, "She's such a lovely person, isn't she?" And Caroline said, "Well, absolutely, she's great. Do you know how they ended up here?" And Caroline told Linda the story that I've just told you. And Linda was completely astonished. She has had a category for people in the parish or near the parish coming along to St. Mary's, hopefully, and sticking with us. But this is a completely new category for her. She'd never considered that someone might actually move to London with the set purpose in mind that they might come along to the church of which she's already a member. She's been so encouraged by that. And actually, that's been an infectious thing, really, in the church. There's a couple who are a living example of gospel priorities lived out. It's been great. It's been great for St. Mary's to see that. So I just wanted to start with that because of the encouragement that it is to those churches. Secondly, because you can have a disproportionately large impact. Now, all churches need people. Of course, all churches want to grow. All churches would love more people to come to them in order to help them with the different ministries that they run. But my experience at St. Mary's is that on the occasions that someone who's joined us, who is willing to throw themselves into church life, that has meant actually for us that a pretty basic ministry is able to happen. So when we arrived, there were two people who led Sunday school, which meant that we were able to have a Sunday school. That was already happening. But of course, when one of them was ill or not able to come along on a Sunday, we had to cancel Sunday school, which was a real disappointment when that happened, particularly when there were some new people who had come with a family. And then actually, even on the occasions when both those Sunday school teachers were around, we only had enough leaders for one Sunday school class, which meant that on any given Sunday, you'd have a two-year-old, perhaps, in the class together with a 14-year-old. I don't care how good a Sunday school teacher you are. That's a tough ask. And what has happened since is that some nearby churches have lent us some Sunday school teachers, which is a big sacrifice for them, but has been brilliant for us. What it's meant is that actually we've been able to stream Sunday schools. We've got two groups now, which means that there's age-appropriate teaching, or much more age-appropriate teaching for the different groups. It means it's more fun for the children as they come along. They're learning more. And so bit by bit, actually, the Sunday school has been growing. Or take music. I didn't actually check the exact details of this, but I think I'm right in saying that for about the last 15 years, St. Mary's has either not had music on a Sunday, not had accompaniment on a Sunday, I should say, which means that they've sung a cappella, or I think put a CD in and sung accompanied by that, or they've paid for a musician, a pianist to come. And that's been fine. I mean, you do what you need to do, don't you, on a Sunday? And then I think about 18 months, well, just maybe 16 months ago, a musician arrived, actually, again, from St. Ebbs, who has been just a game changer to the whole atmosphere of Sundays and to our singing. And it's been just a huge blessing for us as a church. Those are just two little vignettes. Others on the panel will be able to furnish you with further examples, I'm sure, but you get the point. You might think you might not make that much of a difference just turning up at a church. But actually, you could very well have a disproportionately large impact, certainly on a church such as mine. Third reason to consider a church like ours, because you'll get to know the church family. We're small, we're about 60 on a Sunday, which means that after a few months, you'll know everyone. And that will bring with it its irritations, I'm sure, because you'll know everyone. You'll have to rub shoulders with everyone. You can't avoid people. But actually, it's a great blessing as well. One of the most encouraging things, I think, at St. Mary's in the last few months has been seeing a recent graduate who's now working as a civil servant, sitting down alongside a long-term member of the congregation who struggles to read, and looking at the Bible together and helping one another to understand what the Bible says. I just think that's brilliant. I think that's really what church is about, isn't it? So there you are, three reasons to consider coming to a church like ours. Of course, some of those things are true for other types of churches as well, but you get the idea. Two reasons why it would be difficult for you if you came. The first is that it's unlikely that there'll be many people at your age and stage. This won't be true of all churches of the sort of size that we are, but it will be true of quite a lot, I guess. There may be some people in their 20s and 30s. There may be a few, or you may be the only one if you were to come. And I genuinely think that's worth thinking about before you make a decision. It's certainly worth coming down to whatever church you think about going to and just checking it out, because it might very well be that therefore it's not the right place for you to go. When I first became a Christian and started going to church, I was about the age of 17 at the time. I started going to church with my mum. I was the youngest member of the congregation and she was the second youngest. I don't know, that was a bit of a struggle for me. That won't necessarily be like that, as I say, but it may well be. Lots of smaller evangelical churches have plenty of people in their 20s and 30s. But if there aren't that many people around, actually, the downside, of course, is that you won't have people to talk about necessarily the things which you particularly are going through in your work life or friendship group or whatever it may be. And that is just worth considering. Or if you did decide you wanted to commit, you could come as a group. Number two, I want to tell you about some of the irritations that I think will be inevitable if you come to a church like ours. It's worth saying that there'll be irritations whichever church you go to. There's no such thing as a perfect church. But if you come to a church which is perhaps, as I think we sometimes describe our church as being on a journey, a church that's in transition, then there will be some foibles and some quirks, which in some ways are charming and in other ways will be quite irritating. For instance, we have a tradition at St. Mary's where during the peace, if you're familiar with that, at Holy Communion, everyone gets up and shakes hands with everybody else in the whole service on a Sunday. It's just what happens. Which is fine when the congregation was about 25 or 30 people. But now it's 60 people. Actually, it's quite a problem. And if we were to grow a little bit more, it would increasingly become a problem. It actually takes quite a long time. And if you're new, what you don't know is that there's a kind of one-way system that everybody else who's there knows about, but you don't know, and you're going against the one-way system, and you might be told that that's the case. That's a quirk, isn't it? And might be slightly irritating. Let me tell you about the collection. We have a collection on Sunday mornings. At the week we arrived, which was my first week as vicar, the collection was happening just as usual, and the collection plate reached Caroline. Caroline took it and passed it on without putting anything in it. The person who was taking the collection handed it back to her. Caroline sort of whispered to him, I don't have anything, and passed it on. He passed the plate back to her and said, pretend to put something in. Which is quite a quirky thing, isn't it? I think he was trying to be kind. I think he didn't want us to look bad on our first Sunday, as though we weren't putting anything in the collection. But it's a quirk or a foible, to say the least. And that's just where we are at the moment. That's who we are at St. Mary's at this stage in our journey. Probably it's different for other churches represented here, but it gives you a bit of a feel. Let me end with a fundamental biblical principle wherever you decide to go, in whichever church you end up. This is, it seems to me, far more important than the question of where you go. The issue is how you go. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, familiar verses to us, says this. Let us consider how to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not neglect meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. It seems to me that, well, we can think strategically, we can think about what would work well for us as people, but far more important than actually where we end up at church is the fact that we throw ourselves wholeheartedly into whichever church we go to. See, we could be a blessing to any church. Any true church that's seeking to be faithful will be a blessing to us. The key thing is to commit. We used to have a corny phrase when I was at university for this verse. People talked about the important thing being attitude, not latitude. Doesn't matter where you go, really. It doesn't really matter. I mean, God is big enough to be able to so ordain things that each church has the people he needs them to have. The key thing is to commit. Well, that's all I had to say at this stage, and I think we're going to have a bit of a Q&A now, so I'm going to hand back over to Joel.
James, thanks so much indeed. If you are called Tim or Anne-Marie or Pamela or Caroline, do you come up? This is our panel. What we're going to do is we're going to have a bit of a chat, the kind of six of us, and an opportunity as well for some questions. So if you've got questions, do be kind of storing them up. We might give a moment to turn to a neighbour in a second. Guys, come and grab a seat. Hopefully these microphones will provide enough amplification for us. Excellent. It'd be great to find out who you guys are. So let's work kind of around from here. Pamela, why don't you take that microphone? Just one of those. Perfect. Pamela, tell us who you are, where you've come from, the church you're at.
Okay, so I'm Pam Taylor. I'm from Morecambe. I'm at Church by the Bay, and I'm married with two tiny children.
And for those of us that are either not from the UK or whose geography is very poor, where is Morecambe?
So northwest. If you know, you might know Lancaster, across the river from Lancaster.
Great. Okay, let's keep going.
My name's Tim. I'm married to Anne-Marie here, and we have come from Bath today. And we go to a church a couple miles outside Bath called St. Nick's Bathampton.
And Anne-Marie, tell us what you were doing in Oxford when you were here a couple of years ago.
I was doing chemistry at Magdalen, and Tim was doing physics at Mansfield.
Great. Yes, Caroline, next. We already know where you are, Caroline, but tell us what you do. James is the vicar. What do you get up to in London?
I work for the Financial Conduct Authority, which regulates financial services, so based across town in Stratford. I work there part-time and involved in the kids' work at church.
Super. Just to reiterate what James said at the beginning, we're not saying that everyone should go to a different church which is super unlike St. Ebbs. We're just aware of the default will often be that happens. And we want to be a church which is as much as possible generous towards lots of brilliant gospel ministry happening across the country, which is why something like this happens. So we take once a year to talk about it explicitly, and because we think it's a great thing, we don't think it's a universal thing. So what Tim and Anne-Marie, for instance, have done isn't something that I expect all of us will do, but some of us might well do it. Super. Pamela, tell us your story. Where were you and what brought you to Church by the Bay?
Yeah, so I was one of you in Lancaster studying in my third year, and I did art at uni. I'd applied to be a trainee at Moorlands Church in Lancaster, which has got loads of students and loads of young families. And we just thought, right, let's stay here. And so I applied to be a trainee. My husband's a teacher, and he got a job at a school in Lancaster, so that was great. And then I went to my trainee interview, and Danny, the pastor there, said, oh, right, so Church by the Bay, who I didn't even know who they were, they really need somebody. They need a trainee, and they've asked me, will you consider moving? And my first reaction was, no, I will not consider moving. But just before, so John and I were due to get married right after we graduated, so soon after this interview. And the more we talked about it, the more we couldn't find any reasons not to go. And so that was the clincher. We met with Jerry and Catherine, who's the pastor and his wife at Church by the Bay, and we said, we're coming. So we were a bit like that couple that James mentioned at the start, who just came and jumped in the deep end.
Some of us will pray for Church by the Bay every so often. It's in the prayer diary and things like that. Tell us just a little bit about what the church is like, for those of us that don't know.
Okay, yeah. So about 65-70, as James said earlier, on a Sunday morning, and that's about half of those are members. There's lots of fringe, loads of regulars that come, sort of sitting on the fence. There's no fence really, but sitting on the fence, and sort of like the stragglers that you see maybe three times a year, those kinds of people. There's loads of kids, which gets a bit mad sometimes. And so we've got Jerry and we've got two elders, my husband John and another John. Yeah. And there are quite a lot of old people. Nobody who is a student.
Not a lot of students in Morecambe.
No.
Anne-Marie, let's go to you. You got a job in Bath. The obvious thing would have been, I guess, to have moved into Bath and found a church in Bath. What was the kind of process that meant you ended up in a village church, Church of England church, outside Bath? And what is it like, the church?
So we moved to the centre of Bath. So within walking distance, there's a couple of big evangelical churches. And we've got friends there who we do camp with. So it was quite natural for us when we first moved to Bath to think, we'll try out a few different churches. And we'd heard about St. Nick's, and it was on our radar, so we thought we'd try it out, but it was probably 50-50 between St. Nick's and a bigger church, until we went to St. Nick's, and we listened to a sermon, and the vicar just preached the Bible, and I think we just kind of knew that it was a church where the gospel was proclaimed, and it was just obvious to us from that point that we should go there.
Tim, tell us what it's like.
Well, it's small. If there's 40 people, that's a good Sunday. And when we arrived, we were the only people in the 18 to 40 bracket. There's been a couple other since then, which has been a great encouragement to us, but lots of retirees.
Those of us that are over 30 love the 18 to 40 bracket. Tell us what you've got up to at St. Nick's.
So we were thrown in the deep end a bit. So since joining, we've done a Christianity Explored course. I've preached three times, and we're now leading a home group.
And tell us what you've really enjoyed. Maybe Anne-Marie, back to you. Tell us what you've really enjoyed about that.
I've actually really enjoyed the few times I've led Sunday school. That was a very new experience for me, not something I'd ever done before. But at a church like ours, there's so much scope for serving that you just kind of do whatever you can. And home group is starting to really feel like a family atmosphere where people can ask questions about the Bible and get honest answers. Not everyone in our home group is a Christian, I should add as well. So.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. That's super helpful. Let's go to Caroline. Caroline, you and James were here for 5 years. You were super involved in the student ministry in lots of ways. Tell us what's been different about being at St. Mary's Somerstown.
There's quite a few things that are different. We now have two students, which we've got a big medical school in sort of on the border of the parish, and we've got two students who've started coming to us. So that's a little smaller than the student work here, but that's been an encouragement. The congregation has historically been quite elderly, but also there's quite a lot of young families in the area. So before, James talked about Sunday school earlier, Sunday school has grown, and that's been a real encouragement, but it is quite different. One week you might have no children, another week you might have 11 on a sort of really good week. So that's quite unpredictable. There's something wonderfully diverse about Somerstown, and There are lots of different nationalities represented, lots of different ages, lots of different backgrounds and sort of occupations. And that's wonderful, and it's a real encouragement to be sort of as church there. But it also has its challenges, and thinking about how you can encourage and serve people with maybe quite different needs. And some of the needs in our local area are quite varied. So that's been really interesting, but quite different from St. Ebbs. And some of the things you kind of take for granted, you suddenly realise actually it's really humbling to be kind of reminded of some things that actually do take a bit of time. So like administration or rotas or actually encouraging people to serve when maybe they've never really been encouraged to before, and then they're just used to turning up on a Sunday and then leaving. So there's quite a kind of different feel, but as well as some of those challenges, it's been a real encouragement as well.
Thanks, Caroline. That's so helpful. I'm going to ask James a question in a second, but before we get to that question, let's just turn to someone next to us. Anything that's been raised that we'd like to ask about or seek clarification on, and we'll have an opportunity for some questions from the floor in just a moment. James, this event is partly hosted by the UKMG, the United Kingdom Mission Group. They actually provided the donuts. Those are on them. So thanks to the UKMG for that. And I guess the focus will be kind of the UK-type scene, the way we've been talking, all these guys from the UK. What would you say to those of us that will be going back to countries that aren't the UK post-studying?
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I had the UK largely in mind as I was thinking, so apologies for that. And I think it's an important question. I don't think it's necessarily a straightforward question to answer. And I think it would be helpful to chat about it at iFocus or, to get Christy and Jack's input. You could ask their advice on what it might look like. I don't know the scene, really. I know there are lots of students from Singapore, for instance, when we were here. I don't know the scene particularly in Singapore. But I guess the principles are the same, aren't they? So, ultimately, it's not really about what sort of size church you go to. That isn't the fundamental thing. What we're really looking for when we're considering a church is a church where we can encourage and be encouraged, where we can hear the Bible taught regularly, and where people are seeking to sit under the Bible and live their lives in response to it. You find a church like that, you're away, and it's just a matter of committing to it. If the church that you're currently going to isn't a church which is particularly spiritually encouraging to you through the Bible teaching, one to another, through the Bible studies or whatever they might be, that is, it seems to me a pretty fundamental thing. We need to be being encouraged through Scripture. So it is worth finding a church that's like that. I think much more on top of that, it'd be worth, I think, just getting the advice of leaders at iFocus or elsewhere. Is there anything else that you want to say, Joel?
No, that's great. Thank you. And feel free to ask more about that if you'd like to. This is your moment to ask. If there are questions, I don't know, Hannah, do we have a raving mic? We'll see if the raving mic works. Does anyone have any questions? Stick up a paw if you do. Frankie is very eager.
So cool to hear what you guys are up to. I guess we're sort of sitting here going, wow, Ebbs isn't like the churches that you guys are in. What would it look like to make the most of being at a church like Ebbs now and everything that Ebbs has got to offer to kind of then really help where people to go and serve in the kind of churches that you guys now are in? How do we make the most now?
Who wants to answer?
I'll give a start and someone else can maybe add. Maybe two starting points. One is to build for yourself a personal sort of pattern and closeness to the Lord through prayer and Bible study and church commitment, so that you are able to serve here and in the future wherever you end up. So I think it's a funny time if you're a student or if you're here just for a short time. I'd encourage you to kind of be encouraged and build yourself up but then also maybe give things a go. If there's an opportunity to help with focus or help with creche or help with something else that's kind of going on at church, maybe if it's something that's a bit different that you haven't done before, like helping out with a creche or with Sunday school or with flyering, or there's so many different things that you could do. Why don't you give it a go and start to ask other people to give you some advice about where they think you can best serve and what gifts you've got, and use those things to think about wherever you might go and serve the Lord in the future.
Thanks, Caroline. Go on, anyone else? Go on, Amory.
I found helping to lead at Focus in my last year here particularly helpful for then going on to help lead a home group in another church, because you feel way too young to be leading a home group anyway, and having been equipped to know how to lead a Bible study was really, really helpful.
There are lots of really great opportunities at St. Ebbs to be built up and equipped. But I just want to add that when you go to church, you may find yourself stuck in home groups or preaching or Sunday school, and that's all very well. But the vicar at our church has said to us that the real encouragement is just our being there every week, being pleased to hear the Bible preached to us every week, to pray for them. And so if you go, it doesn't matter how able you feel you can serve the church in lots of ways. If you just go and you're friendly and praying for your church and excited by the gospel, that's 95% of what it means to serve.
Thanks, Tim. That's really good. It's nothing quite like turning up to be an encouragement to each other and encouragement to those labouring away. Anything to add from you, Pamela?
All of the above.
Great. any more questions from the floor? We'll come to you next, Shannon.
Hello. What advice would you give to those of us that have come to church at uni and haven't got one at home, and like how we go about finding one and keeping faith over the holidays?
Great question. Go on, James.
It's hard, isn't it? If I heard, I you said you don't have a church at home, but come to church at uni, yeah. Look, I think that is a hard thing, and there's not a huge amount that you can do to sort that out. You know, you can't. I think you can have an impact at a church, but you can't overestimate the sort of impact that you can have at a church which you may go to at home, because ultimately it's not you that sets the blueprint for that church or is in the leadership of the church. So I think there are things that you can do to keep yourself going, though, in the VAC. I used to find, when I was a student, I used to find the VAC the most spiritually difficult time, because I was partly because I was in a situation like yours. We went along to a church, but it wasn't really much going on, really. And partly because I'm such a creature of habit and routine that I actually flourished in the routine of term. And then when the routines were gone, that wasn't great. So for me, personally, the first couple of days of the VAC were key for sort of getting some kind of VAC routine going, just for my own spiritual devotional life. The first morning of the VAC, I think, was where the battle was largely won or lost in terms of my quiet times throughout the whole of the rest of the VAC. So I think there's that. If you're coming along to Focus or iFocus or Thesis or whatever it might be, you're already part of a group whose job really is to keep you spiritually encouraged when you're not around. So I think to make much of that, and if you know your particular group doesn't particularly do much at this stage to help you to keep going spiritually when you're away, ask them. You just make that point to them, and you know the WhatsApp groups can be great. You could read a book together as a group, and feedback each week as to how you're finding it. It's that sort of thing, I think. And then, of course, one of the great blessings that St. Ebbs brings, it seems to me, is having their sermon database online. And you can just tune in. And, that can be a great encouragement as well.
And worth saying, if you're looking or want to go to church back home but have never gone before or found one, do ask people. The staff team at St. Ames is big enough that we know lots of churches in the UK, so we may well be able to point you in the direction of somewhere across the country and even perhaps across the world. We sometimes get asked for church recommendations in places like Copenhagen and things like that, which is fun. Any other questions from the floor? Well, it was Shannon's turn, I think. The front. It's my fault. Yeah, the front.
All of you are kind of going to these churches and moving there as couples. So would your advice be different if you're going alone? And how would that look like?
Go on, Pamela, help us.
So we have just had a trainee who's been in that position, a single guy who's come to Church by the Bay to be a trainee for his second year. And I think it's just, it's your attitude when you move, it's your heart when you move. Why are you going there? Are you going there to find somebody to get married to? In which case, don't go there. But if you're just wanting to go and get stuck in somewhere and serve, just get on with it. It's fine. Yeah. So why are you going there? And I know that sometimes you can long so much to get married, and it's fine to go to a church where there are more people your age, where there's like more of a chance. Do you know what I mean? But it's why you want to go there and who you are serving. You can serve Jesus on your own in a church family where there's not really any people who are your age or stage of life, and you can serve him at St. Ebb's when your student congregation is like bigger than our congregation is, like, completely. Yeah.
Maybe just to add, so James and I didn't meet at university, so we kind of met later on. So after university, I moved back to London, but I didn't go to the church that I'd grown up at, and looked around for a smaller church because I'd been at a slightly smaller church when I was at university. And I kind of visited three, and I chatted to people there, and I chatted to the minister at the church I ended up at, and tried to find out a little bit about what was going on there and what the opportunities were as a single person, and actually was really encouraged. I loved having older people looking out for me, which was really wonderful. I wasn't the only person in my 20s. For me, there were a few others, so that gave me a couple of friends. But also, I really valued Christian friends from before, from university, who also could really help encourage me, and that I was able to get some fellowship from them as well as within my church family. So I think I'd encourage you that good to think about how you'll be encouraged, but that can be in all sorts of situations.
Thanks, guys. They're really helpful. We won't go on very much longer. We try and finish normally at 2, but because this is slightly special, we've overrun a little bit. Any more questions? Finn had one, I think.
So first of all, thank you for coming. And the question is directed to the whole panel. I wanted to know, because we all have our own experiences prior to where we moved to, how much do you adapt to where you've moved to, and how much do you bring forward from your prior experiences?
Go on, James.
I didn't quite catch the last part of your question. How much do you adapt to where you're going to, and how much? So, yeah. Okay. I think inevitably you adapt. You know, you can have an impact in a church, but it's a church which is already, has its own culture and its own people. Its own friendship groups and so on. And so I think inevitably you will need to go in with the mind frame of adapting to whatever you find there. However, it seems to me, slightly like what Tim was saying, it seems to me that simply by going along, getting involved, being a prayerful part of a church, seeking to be a full member, then that makes a difference. And that will have an impact. But I think whatever your past experiences of church, you will have, a whole host of things which you will bring with you in terms of gifts and abilities, skills, training that you'll have. And so, speaking as a vicar, let me say this to you. speaking as a vicar, I love it when people come to me, and new members of the church come to me and say, I'm willing to serve in whatever way the church needs people to serve. I think that is a much more powerful and, it seems to me, gospel-shaped thing to say than, I'm a musician, I will serve on the music team. I think that might be a slightly controversial thing to say. I don't know, but we're all gifted in all sorts of ways. It might be that, the music team is fine right now. What we desperately need is people who are willing to fly. And finding volunteers for people to fly, particularly in winter, is an absolute nightmare. So just really servant-hearted people. Our skills are gifts anyway from God. So, it's up to him what he gives us. But the great thing is to be servant-hearted with whatever we have.
Maybe just a small point to add, that I think it's right to kind of think about that combination of actually, there might be something stylistically at church we find a bit unusual or different, or maybe not what we might have chosen, but it's good to be flexible and thinking about how we serve and encourage others. It's also good, graciously and kindly, to bring new ideas. And James kind of joked a little bit earlier about like what we sing at St Mary's and the fact that we don't really have many modern songs. We've occasionally introduced a few, like we're reaching the 90s, a few songs. Or actually, what we've particularly enjoyed is old hymns with a newer tune that maybe is a little bit easier to sing. And I think of a lovely elderly lady called Pamela in our church who she has absolutely loved learning a few new songs. And she gets so excited about learning a new song. And for other people, it might be a bit difficult because it's a bit unusual, but it's been really nice to introduce a couple of things like that or think about things a little bit differently. So I think you don't want to kind of bulldozer in somewhere, but equally, if you've seen something that works well that you think could be a benefit to the new place you're serving, then, suggest it. And I think we've found that long-standing members of St Mary's have been really encouraged by new ideas and energy and willingness to serve, and have actually been really willing to give new things a go that maybe they might not have thought of before. But that's been a real encouragement to us.
Guys, thank you so much. Those really helpful answers. We don't have any more time for any more questions. Hopefully these guys aren't going to run away. So if you've got anything you'd like to ask any of them, do you come and ask. We're going to close. I'm going to pray in just a second. Should say that if you're leaving in the next year, 2, 3, 4 years, whether you're a member of Roots or Thesis or iFocus or Focus or coming on Sunday, do ask people of church recommendations when you find out where you're going to be living, you apply for a job in Coventry or whatever, come and ask. And it may well be the case that someone like me can say, oh, there's a couple of good churches and we hear about someone that's in a smaller place who could really do some support, but maybe there's this really good church in the centre of Coventry. So just knowing what's out there can be really helpful in making kind of gospel-driven sort of decisions like we've been hearing about. So just do ask, can be really helpful. Excellent. Thanks so much for coming. And all of you, thank you. Pamela, Tim, Amory, well done for getting here despite a train cancellation. James, Caroline, thank you so much for serving us so well. Thanks for giving up a Saturday or a Sunday. Thanks for not being at your home churches this morning. We're really grateful to you and for them for giving you to us for the day. And we'd love to pray for St. Mary Somerstown, St. Nicholas, Church by the Bay. So shall I pray for us? Father God, we are so grateful that the Lord Jesus loves his bride, loved her enough to die for her, to shed his own blood for her. And we praise you for the church families in Morecambe, at St. Nicholas and in St. Mary's Somerstown. Thank you so much for your love for them. And we praise you for brothers and sisters who we don't know yet, but will one day know in the new creation, serving Christ faithfully. And we pray that in your kindness, you would be building those church families up in the Lord Jesus, equipping them to serve him in every way and making them very, very fruitful. We pray for people that live around the churches who don't yet know the Lord Jesus. Please would they come in. Please would they be attracted. Please would they hear about Christ. Please would you be building your church, we pray. We pray for Pamela and Tim and Anne-Marie, James and Caroline. We pray you bless them all in their ministries and in their lives. And we pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thanks so much for coming. Do come and grab these guys if you'd like to, and have a good afternoon.